Good morning, and welcome to CAU Now, Lifting Every Voice. I'm WCLK Operations Manager Rob Maynard. This program highlights the ongoing academic goals and achievements of Clark Atlanta University, the largest of the nation's 37-member United Negro College Fund institutions. In future programs, we will tell you the stories of academic excellence and strategic planning now happening at one of America's great historically black college and universities. I'm joined today by Clark Atlanta University Provost and Vice President of Academic Affairs, Dr. Peter Wosu. Wosu came to CAU from California State University at Fullerton most recently, and his steps on the academic ladder have included Tennessee State University and Howard University, among others. Dr. Wosu, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Rob. It's a delight to be here.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and the experiences in your life that have led you to Clark Atlanta University?
Again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here at the station. You did mention Howard University, which I'm very proud of, a historically black college university, where I received my doctorate degree in communication studies. And that was many, many years ago. Suddenly graduating from Howard University, I went straight to the California State University system, one of its institutions in Sacramento. Became an assistant professor and then moved on to attain the rank of full professor at that institution and moved on subsequently to another campus of the California State University system at Northridge, where I served in the role of department chair and again served as assistant to the provost and vice president for academic affairs. And then I left Cal State Northridge and went to Tennessee State University, initially in a leadership position. I was selected as an American Council on Education Fellows program, which is really one of the nation's premier higher education leadership program. That was completed within a year at Tennessee State as my home institution as an ACE fellow. And then I went back to California State University Northridge because you're expected to return back to your institution. And then moved back again when I was offered a position at Tennessee State to serve as special assistant to the president and served under three presidents. Subsequently also served in the role of associate vice president for academic affairs at that institution. And then returned to California and served in the role of associate vice president for academic programs at California State University, Fullerton. So it's been quite a journey for me. Journey in academic in the academic arena, very, very focused on the very idea of teaching, research, and service. And anyone who looks at my record will see that that has been the passion that I've had and certainly a passion for students. And that's what I bring to Clark Atlanta University. At Fullerton, in my role, I managed academic programs. I managed student success, as well as the quality of academic programs at the institution, and was very pleased to have the opportunity to join Dr. Johnson at Clark Atlanta.
And indeed, Dr. Johnson, and I'm sure a committee selected you for this position as provost at CAU. Can you tell us, maybe for those of us not well-versed in academia, what is the role of the provost?
The provost, that's a very good question, and I've had that actually from students and from a number of individuals at the university. And I've made a point of duty to ask, what does the provost do at the institution? In a very simple way, the provost is the second in command at the university. The provost is the next in the chain of institutional leadership after the president. Indeed, can also be described as the chief operating officer for the university, whilst the president is the chief executive officer of the institution. The provost is also first among equals in the sense that the provost is the vice president for academic affairs. And in that role, he or she, in my case, he, is the chief academic officer of the institution. He's also the dean of faculty. He's responsible for the quality of the academic compass of the institution, works very closely with faculty in curricular planning, curricular changes, to strengthen the quality of the offerings we have for the students, but also is the chief driver of a number of initiatives that we have at the institution to drive student success, working in collaboration with other vice presidents, the CFO, the student affairs vice president, and others at the university, and certainly the president, to advance those initiatives, and is a key lieutenant in the president's leadership team.
And with all that in mind, again, I thank you for taking this time today to talk to us, because that doesn't leave a lot of minutes in the day, it doesn't sound like.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Wosu, what are your goals for Clark Atlanta University, and what are some of the steps along the way that you see that Clark Atlanta University will need to be taking here during your term in office?
President Johnson and I are very, very committed to the institutional mission of this of Clark Atlanta University. And indeed, that institutional mission speaks very simply as follows: the enhancement of the academic and career success of our students. That's really been the motivating driver for all the work we've been trying to do. He's been here for a year, and I've been here for 2 months. The essential driver of our work has been the question, what kinds of things must we be doing and must we do to enhance the quality of student learning at the university and to drive student success so that at the end of the day, the students can graduate? And so in a nutshell, we've worked to do some of those things, strengthen the architecture for student learning, and there are a number of initiatives at the university to drive that. We have indeed spent time with faculty over the last 1 year, actually the last 18 months with Dr. Johnson's leadership. And suddenly when I joined the university at the tail end of that process, there are revisions to our new degree plans. 51 of those new degree plans is a major accomplishment on the part of faculty. We've also put in place a new general education core, which now brings down the general education curriculum from what it was in the past, so almost 60 units or credit hours for a student, to now 35, which is consistent with national standards. All in all, then, our undergraduate degree program has a total number of 122 credit hours. We've also moved in the direction of strengthening enrollment, and that's another goal of the president and I, and certainly the university is also part of a strategic plan, and I can speak eventually to that. One of the accomplishments for this season is the remarkable growth in our enrollment from what it was last year and the prior years. And what is also very exciting for us is the improvement in the quality of the profile of the students who have joined us for this academic year in terms of their SAT scores and ACT scores. That's really been the highest we've had in the last 5 years. We're also strengthening research and sponsored programs. We're also strengthening infrastructure at the university to drive and help us with our student success initiative. And I can go on and on in terms of those, but centrally has been our enrollment and student success architecture.
And it's interesting to me, obviously, tighten the curriculum up a bit. And one of the points that I've heard you speak to is how to make sure that students are properly advised so that they're not spending a lot of years when that momentum could be spent on graduate school or on a career. Could you talk a little bit about how that fits into this? That the students that come here, you're a student, go forth and prosper, but really some of these young people really do need some guidelines to make sure they get out of Clark with a degree in 4 years.
And you are very correct. As we embarked on the planning for the new degree plans, whose implementation began this semester with our new class, the 2020 class, Keep in mind also that part of that new degree plan is a stackable credential, and I can speak to those at some point. But in that new class, we've also, one of the requirements of the new core is a first-year seminar. So we have over 1,150 students who joined us this semester as freshmen. So we have worked as part of that advising key to really take a careful look at the profile of those students. And so there's a series of assessment measures we have introduced in the first-year seminar, collecting data to help us understand the profile of the students. And then once we're able to understand the profile of the students, for example, we've administered the college student inventory. We're administering the learning style inventory, the strengths finder. Once we're able to, and then the ability to do research, because a key component of what we're doing at the university is a quality enhancement plan, which also builds the student's capacity to do research. Once we've done those things, we are now in a position to take the data to strengthen the first year experience and to track how our students perform across the board. I have also gone ahead in terms of the advising piece. It's not really just the advising piece, but also the whole overall look at the student success architecture we have by appointing a task force at the university drawn from multiple stakeholders to look at our student success efforts. What works? Do really a comprehensive mapping of this effort, and we've completed that mapping. Looking at advising at the local levels in terms of schools and special population groups, international students, students with disabilities, athletics, and so on. But we've also looked at the data, evaluated what we do centrally at the central level. That data was shared with this task force just yesterday. And so we're beginning to identify the kinds of areas where we think we have gaps and what we need to be doing to strengthen that. One of the things we've also agreed on is what we call student success markers based on the national literature, so that helps us to strengthen our advising pathways. For example, central to those elements of our student success markers are really evidence of student learning. Students are here to learn, and how do we do that? We to strengthen our assessment. Second is our degree productivity profile. How many of our students are earning their bachelor's, their master's, their PhD? Then an important piece of this is also the progression rate. At which rate are they earning 15 credit hours, 30 within the year, in their second year, 60 credit hours, in their third year, 90? If they stay on track along those lines, and certainly we expect that they will graduate in 4 years. And there's some other things we're doing with retention as well as graduation rates, and then what happens to them when they graduate and leave the university in terms of post-graduation experiences.
You are listening to Clark Atlanta University Provost and Vice President of Academic Affairs, Dr. Peter Wosu. This is CAU Now, Lifting Every Voice. Dr. Wosu, you used a term, stackable credentials. And I've talked to a couple of people about this, and it does seem a very important new wrinkle, if you will, here for a university. We live in an age where, in some respects, a college education and the expense that it brings is more speculative than ever, given the nature of our job market. What are stackable credentials? And what implication does this have for Clark Atlanta University students going forward?
Thank you for that question. This really is a key component of our new degree plans, by the way, and our new core. President Johnson has been at the forefront of this effort in encouraging faculty to see the value in this, and certainly faculty saw the value. And so what stackable credentials then are, they are a unique component of the university's new degree plans. Students can earn credentials that have labor market value. These credentials offer new opportunities for our students, new possibilities in a student's chosen field of study. And you talked about the new economy we live in. It's a knowledge-based economy, fast, technology-driven. And so how do you prepare students then to leverage the opportunities of the new degree plan, leverage the opportunities in the new core with critical thinking skills, information, literacy, and so on, and then still be in a position to take a sequence of courses that allows the students to say, for example, I am a psychology major, but I could also take a sequence of courses from business administration that provides me a credential in project leadership or project management. It is also possible that a student could be in business administration and take another credential through a sequencing of courses in social work. So every one of our schools has a stackable credentials that they have identified, courses that allow students, so that a student graduating with a bachelor's degree can also have a certificate, which then provides them with greater opportunity to navigate this fastly changing knowledge economy.
I hope that if we have some parents out there who have teenagers in the house, like I do, and you're hearing this, it gives you something to think about when it comes time to make your decision as to where your child is going to be attending college before too very long. Dr. Wosu, the official inauguration of Clark Atlanta University's president, Dr. Ronald A. Johnson, is set for October 7th through the 9th. People are going to be hearing about those events a lot. Could you talk a little bit about what's going on during those events and some of the symposia that you're involved with?
This is really an exciting opportunity and time in the life of the university. When you come through the campus, you feel the energy. You see the banners lifting every voice. There's a lot of excitement to this important milestone in our university's life, the inauguration of our fourth president, Dr. Ronald Johnson. We're very excited about this. It's a celebration, quite frankly, Rob. It is a celebration of the university's accomplishment. It's a celebration of the president. It's a celebration of our direction as an institution. We've lined up a series of activities to begin really on Wednesday with the First Lady's Luncheon, bringing prominent women at the university to participate in this celebration. The university has been at the vanguard of the efforts towards social justice and equal rights. And so beginning with the First Lady's Luncheon, it's an apt way, appropriate way to begin our celebration. We have events on Thursday and Friday. There are a series of presidential panels that have been set up, beginning with students in the morning at 10 in the Davidge Auditorium. There is an activity, a series of events also planned for faculty, beginning with Dr. Mortisha Black. That will be followed by another panel where faculty members and staff at the university who have actually done a lot of community partnerships out there will be sharing the experiences. We have Dr. Bazune, who has worked with the Young African Leaders Program, who will also be part of that. We have the Cancer Center. We have social work programs in the community. So this promises to be a very exciting panel. Dr. Dennis Kimbrough will be moderating that session. Then we have a very, very important panel of HBCU presidents who are alumni of the university, who've gone on to do wonderful things out there, and they're president or former president of institution, and they will be speaking on the topic why HBCUs matter. So that's a promises to be a very exciting panel conversation. We have two students, SGA graduate student, who will be moderating that session with another one of our students also, who will be playing an active role. And we have invited Dr. Julia Malvo to also help facilitate this particular session. We have on Saturday, which is the actual investiture event, a processional involving our first year. This is one of our large, you know, I mentioned that we have exceeded our enrollment goal in terms of our first year students. Those 1,150 plus first year students will be joined by seniors in a processional led by the provost. There'll be faculty, there'll be invited guests, and this event will be held at King Chapel, and then we'll return to the campus. And then later on that evening, there would be the presidential gala and then the afterglow event. The presidential gala event is actually a fundraising scholarship event. And the information about the inauguration is on our website, and we're really encouraging folks to look at this. And please join us to have this wonderful celebration and inauguration.
And that is taking place October 7th yes. through the 9th.
Yes. And the 9th is the Sunday service. So we have the 7th, we have the 8th, which is a Saturday, and then we have the 9th, which is the worship service.
And you can go to the website at cau.edu to find out more about the inaugural events. It's a very busy fall time here at Clark Atlanta University. Homecoming comes up after that.
And indeed, I want to also give a shout out to alumni, because they're also part of this celebration that the Board of Trustees, Cabinet, everyone has been involved in planning through these days that we're expecting to take place.
Dr. Wosu, you were kind enough to take the time to join the WCLK staff on our recent annual retreat. And in listening to your remarks at that event, it was obvious to me that your trust with the students at this university is one that you hold sacred. Could you expand on how you feel about the nearly 4,000 18 to 24-year-olds that attend college at Clark Atlanta University?
And thank you for asking that question. This is really one that I have come to care deeply about. Student success is not something that I have thought about just by coming to the university. It's been a component of my compass, really the core of my compass, in terms of asking the question, what do we do and what are we doing to ensure that child that is being handed over to us by the parent actually it's cared for when they come to the hallways of our institution, and then we walk them through to graduate, to complete. Many of our students are first in their families to go to college. Many of them, their parents have not had the exposure to education. And so when that child or those students come to us, we have a responsibility, and this is what I've said many times, we have a moral responsibility to ensure that they receive quality education, and that indeed when they come to us, that we spend time to care about them, to go out of the way necessary to ensure that they stay. We may not be able to provide all of the things that we can provide, but at least we make the effort to ensure that their stay here with us is successful, and that when they leave here, they are indeed they will be in a position to become very successful contributors to making our regional economy stronger, to making the nation stronger, to making the world stronger. We are training tomorrow's leaders, and we must take that effort and responsibility serious.
Dr. Wosu, we look forward to hearing more from you in the months to come on CAU Now, Lifting Every Voice, and hearing from the department heads and campus leaders that are going to be part of your efforts. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to another opportunity.
You've been listening to CAU Now, Lifting Every Voice on WCLK. You can listen to this program on demand at WCLK.com. More information about programs and opportunities for personal and professional growth at Clark Atlanta University is available at cau.edu. We'll end this week with the CAU Philharmonic Choir's performance of Atlanta University graduate James Weldon Johnson's Lift Every Voice and Sing, arranged by J. Rosamond Johnson and conducted by Curtis Everett Powell. For Dr. Peter Wosu, I'm Rob Maynard. Good morning.